honestly, I think it's abusive, and that's why I'm exposing it.
Trans role father is willing to go to jail.
We show, this is selling at Target now. It's called Poopsie. So when they're going after like Muslim youth, they're trying to tell them, don't worry, you can still be a Muslim and be a different gender.
Okay, I remember. A very nice young, come to think of it, well, is Alex a boy or a girl?
Actually, Alex doesn't define themselves as boy or girl.
My next guest is a school teacher with over 25 years experience, also has a psychology degree, and she's going to be exposing us to what our children are being exposed to in the educational system. This is very important for everyone to tune in, to get exposed to these facts, some very scary facts that are out there. And we'll be right back with our next guest, Brenda, here on The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to The Dean Show. And we got another exciting episode. We got a lot of information to share with you. Very important information. And we're fortunate enough to have Brenda Lebsack with us. You're a school teacher of 20 plus years, is that correct?
Correct.
And tell us a little bit more about yourself. You also have a, you're also from a psychology background.
I did graduate with my Bachelor of Science in for counseling. And then I went on and went and got my master's degree in education. And then I went into special education. And then later I taught English in high school. And then I ended up going into PE, and now I'm teaching kids with disabilities PE.
And so you've been in the field of education for quite some time, very long time, over 20 years.
Yes, 25 years.
25 years.
I was on a school board. I was an elected official on a school board for 4 years.
Now, for a good friend of mine, Imam Sheikh Omar Mustafa, he shared an event that you guys had at his local mosque where you were speaking, and you were actually informing the community there how they were specifically targeting Muslim youth. And this was very alarming. Can you share some of that with us that you were sharing with them there at the mosque in California?
Yes. 4 years ago, when we were adopting a curriculum for sex education, I was really surprised in some of the things I found, the content, and coming from the California Department of Education, they were recommending to teachers and to students a particular website called Advocates for Youth. And when I went to that website before having to vote on it as a board member to approve this curriculum, I noticed in their articles that were targeting specifically Muslim youth, and they were, it had an article in it specifically that said, I'm Muslim, but I'm a different gender, or I think I'm a different gender. And then it would quote the Quran and the prophets. And I was, you know, I'm a person of faith myself. I'm not a Muslim, but I know that when you take a sacred writing and you start interpreting it incorrectly, I was just really bothered by that and disturbed. And so I took that information to my local mosque in Orange County to an imam.
Yeah. Was that the friend of mine that shared that with me? Was that him specifically or somebody else?
It was actually someone else. I met a few other imams, Dr. Siddiqui and also Dr. Ahmed Sabo, before I met Imam Mustafa.
Imam Mustafa, yes. Tell me, so when I said they are targeting Muslim youth and just children in general, but specifically you saw here how they were changing the text of the Quran, or they were manipulating things, but who is they?
That's a good question. They would be the Advocates for Youth. All I know is who's endorsing Advocates for Youth. I don't actually know who writes the website, but it's being endorsed by the California Department of Education. Advocates for Youth also helped write our sex ed standards, our learning professional sex ed standards, along with Planned Parenthood and another agency called Healthy Teen Network.
Mm-hmm. There's a video here that I want the audience to see, and then we can take off, because some of these things, it's just hard to wrap your mind around it. Because since the beginning, it's always been where God Almighty created man and woman, male and female. It's kind of been straightforward. But from listening to your talk and you explaining these things, now you got her, sir, bur, zer, ze, he, she, tree. People are talking about if they want to be a tree. Is that true? They can be a tree. You can call them a tree.
What we're talking about is unlimited genders. So
unlimited genders.
Correct. When you have, it's called a range of genders. And what I noticed is, I noticed it in the curriculum for young children. We have a couple different agencies that put out this curriculum. One is also called the Human Rights Campaign, and they have a lot of curriculum that's called Welcoming Schools. And all of these words sound wonderful: inclusion, compassion, empathy, you know, tolerance. They all sound great. You know, respect, safe. We all want those things. But then when you look inside a little deeper and see some of these books for preschool, kindergarten, first grade, that they're teaching these kids that they can be, you know, different genders based on their feelings and whatever they choose, not just transgender. It goes beyond that. It's called the gender spectrum. And the first time I learned about it was actually in 2017. There's an article that came out because I'm a teacher. I'm part of the teachers union. And in March 2017, it came out in our teacher's magazine, mailed to my house, called The Gender Spectrum. And when I saw this, they said, you can be gender fluid. You can be, you know, all these different genders. It wasn't, you can be both genders, neither gender, anything in between. And then they had all these different pronouns. And they said, transgender is just one of the many different genders a child can choose. And that's when I started. I'd never heard that before until 2017 from my teacher's union magazine.
Now, this next video we're going to share, this is actually one of the videos that goes out to the educators, to the teachers. Is that correct? And then they form a curriculum off of this, or there's a curriculum that goes with this, that pushes this?
The video,
how does that work?
Amaze.org video?
Yes, it's called...
A Range of Genders?
Yes, that one.
Oh, okay, yes. So that one is actually promoted in a lot of different ways. It's promoted through the Southern Poverty Law Center. They put out a magazine to teachers called Teaching Tolerance. And if you see right here, I mean, I can give you a closer visual, but it's showing this is a free resource in Advocates for Youth for teachers because it has all these free videos. And this is the way we need to teach tolerance in our classroom. Is the many, it's coming under the umbrella of diversity, teaching these unlimited genders. I also found it right here in this magazine is actually put out by the Association of California School Administrators. So this is a magazine that is received by principals, superintendents, anybody who's in any type of leadership of school districts or schools. And I found an article in here that also it's called an LGBTQ plus inclusive culture begins in elementary school. And again, it's recommending these books of unlimited genders.
Mm-hmm. So I'll go ahead.
Maze.org video is it's recommended by these groups. It's also recommended through Advocates for Youth and for the California Department of Education. And Advocates for Youth is not just California. It's a national website.
All right, folks, here we go. A romaine and kale salad with avocado, cucumber, shishito peppers, and four kinds of cheese. Sprinkled in balsamic straight from Italy.
Wow! In my day, salads only had two ingredients. A rock-hard wedge of iceberg lettuce and a stinky old dried-up tomato.
Sorry, guys. I'm gonna have to eat fast. Alex is stopping by in a few minutes to work on a robotics project.
Alex, is that the girl with that weird dog or the boy with the hat with the wings that flap?
No, Uncle Jay. This is Alex.
Oh, okay. I remember. A very nice young... Come to think of it, well, is Alex a boy or a girl?
Actually, Alex doesn't define themselves as boy or girl.
What else is there?
Back in your day, most people understood the world in terms of just boys and girls. But now, we know gender is more complex than that.
Wait, aren't we just talking about whether you're born with a hmm-hmm or a hee-hee?
When you're born, your sex is assigned in a medical way, but the sex listed on your birth certificate may not necessarily match your gender identity.
Gender identity is a person's inner experience of who they are in terms of gender, their deep personal sense of being male, female, a blend of both, or neither.
And while many people have a gender identity that's the same as their assigned birth sex of female or male, that's not always the case, because gender exists on a spectrum. Like transgender, which means a person whose gender identity is not consistent with their assigned birth sex. Non-binary, which means a person whose identity doesn't fall in the category of either male or female. And genderqueer, or gender fluid, which means a person who does not identify themselves as having a specific gender at all.
Does gender identity have to do with being straight or gay?
Actually, no. Gender identity has to do with the way you feel about yourself, while sexual orientation is based on the way you feel toward others, the people you may or may not be attracted to.
You know, I really like Alex, and I can tell they're a good friend to you, but I'm still pretty confused about all of this.
That's okay. You don't have to fully understand someone to respect them. To start, try not to make any assumptions about a person's gender, and use the name and pronouns that they ask you to. Above all, be a friend or ally for people of all gender identities.
I guess the storyline starts off with someone who they consider back in your day, someone who was old school. So now this is the new school.
Correct.
Yeah. So in the old school, it was kind of straightforward. It wasn't as confusing. But now it's something that's a little bit more complex. Can you go more into this? What's the psychology behind this, and what should we, I mean, your thoughts?
Yeah, the word that comes up over and over is the word evolve, that our genders are evolving. I'm seeing that in a lot of documents, and that we need, it's progressive. And I'm not sure how they say this is based on science. It makes no common sense to me. But they're saying based on science is children choosing whatever gender they want to be based on their feelings. And that to them is what's called science and progress.
Okay, let's stop there. You said science. I mean, is there any science to back any of this up?
It's actually in the CDC. The CDC backs up unlimited genders as of December 2019. They are using a lot of new words that people don't know. And what the word is non-binary. See, binary means two, male and female, bi, two, the prefix bi. But when you have non-binary, that means it's outside of male and female. It's somewhere on the spectrum. And they define that as being both, neither, or something else, which could be unlimited based on really your imagination.
It seems like, I mean, how that you gave a good analogy, or you gave a true story about your friends. They're actually, were they in law enforcement, and they were scientists for the law enforcement? What field were they in? And then you consulted with them.
I was talking to a forensic scientist. And I asked them during their investigations, when they were trying to find a suspect, did they ever run into a non-binary person based on blood samples? And they said, no, we've never run into that in all of our years. And these were very, very experienced forensic scientists. And I said, well, that's interesting, because they're saying that non-binary is based on science. But honestly, when I went, because I wanted to find out the origin, as far as in the state of California, where this came from, and I found it, the definition in the state of California changed in July of 2017. This should have been national news, but it was nowhere to be heard. It actually changed in the Fair Housing, Fair Employment hearing. So I contacted them and asked for the 300-page hearing so I could read it. And when I read it, I found out it came from the Transgender Law Center and Equality California. Those were the two groups lobbying for the change definition. And the Fair Housing, Fair Employment went right along with it.
But it seems like there's more a push through this to actually have children who are already at a stage, you know, when you're going through life as a child, you're growing up, you're already confused about things, just life in general. And a lot of times, you know, you go through the natural process and you just grow out of things. But would you say that this actually just gets children even more confused, and then it just ends up complicating their lives even more? And it seems like this is an ideology that's pushing the children away from their natural way.
Oh, I 100% agree. Honestly, I think it's abusive, and that's why I'm exposing it. And I can show you some of the books, and I can say for myself, because I was a tomboy growing up. I liked all the boy things. I didn't play with dolls. I played pirates and cops and robbers. And if I would have been taught these things as a young child, I would have definitely thought I was a boy. It's very, very confusing. And the fact is, what the stats show is any kids that do have any of that gender dysphoria or confusion typically grow out of it after puberty. Like 90% grow out of it. And so to put these thoughts into a young child's mind who is innately imaginative, innately trusting, and impressionable is, to me, exploitation. It's wrong.
I mean, you know it from a psychology background, having a degree in that. What is that doing? I mean, it seems like it's systematically set up targeting children at this specific young age.
Well, absolutely, because the laws, at least in California, are saying that once a child starts identifying as a different gender, or even starts questioning their gender, because LGBTQ, the Q in LGBTQ means queer or questioning. So once they even start questioning, they're put into that category of LGBTQ. And the social workers and the health workers are being trained that, you know, just go with whatever the child says. Never question it, just affirm. Because otherwise, if you don't affirm, you could be leading the child into anxiety, which could lead to depression, which could lead to rejection and suicide, ultimately.
Are we seeing a rise of that? I mean, because now they also incorporate these, tell us about these puberty hormone blockers. What is that, and how does this also play into this?
Well, and, you know, I don't know if you'd like to show that amaze.org video on puberty blockers.
Yeah, we could do that.
I think that would tell a lot, yes. And remember, these are being shown to kids before they hit puberty, so elementary children.
Now, this is another video that's being shown to children, just like the other one that we showed. But this one now specifically is for what if a child is confused, then they'll prescribe them. Is it necessarily with the parents' consent?
Of puberty blockers?
Yes. What role does the family, what role does mom and dad play in this?
Well, as of right now, yes. I know in Orange County, at least in the gender clinics, we have them in the children's hospitals. I know in LA they do. I know in Orange County they do. And the policy is one parent has to consent for a minor. However, the California Teachers Association just passed a policy in January 2020 saying that they believe that parents are unnecessary barriers and that parent permission or consent should not be necessary for a child to receive puberty blockers or hormone therapy.
Wow.
For the sake of equity. Now, that's a policy that they passed, the teachers union. And usually when they pass a policy, they try to move it into legislation. So I would not be surprised at all if that starts to go forward towards legislation.
Okay, here we go. This is the video you're talking about. You can see it?
Yes.
Hi, fish. Come here. Oh, you need a name. Let's see. Wait a second. What gender are you?
A person who is transgender is someone whose internal sense of their gender, being a boy, girl, or something else, doesn't match their physical body. People who feel this way sometimes feel anxious when they begin to reach puberty and their body starts to change in ways that don't match their internal sense of their gender. These feelings are totally normal. If you feel you want more time to explore how you feel about your gender before your body starts to change, it's important to talk with a parent, counselor, therapist, or doctor about the feelings you have regarding your gender. After some discussion and counseling, you may be referred to an endocrinologist. Endocrinologists specialize in hormones, and they're the most likely to prescribe puberty blockers for someone who wants them. Puberty blockers are medications that will stop your body from changing. They are usually given as an injection or an implant. They block the production of hormones to stop or delay the physical changes of puberty. The effects of the medication are only temporary, so if a person stops using puberty blockers, the physical changes of puberty will begin again. Whether you identify as male, female, genderqueer, or something else, you're perfectly normal. And there are lots of ways to manage puberty so that it can be a fun, exciting time rather than a scary or stressful one.
Okay, maybe you need more time to get to know yourself first. I'll just call you Bubbles for now.
When I see this, Brenda, I mean, this is really frightening because we know, I mean, one, I start thinking of this is a brilliant way for the pharmaceutical company to make a lot of money. This is big business at the expense of our children. And you see how they push it as, oh, it's safe. You know, just take a time to kind of reflect and see, do you really want to move forward with this? Like you're shopping now for a gender. And we know that there are any prescription, any drug that you take from pharma. I mean, you got to look at the side effects, and this is not safe. There's no way this is a lie. I mean, what are your thoughts? Please talk to us.
Well, puberty blockers, and then if it goes on to hormone therapy, leads to sterilization.
Because there are cancer risks. One, you have at this time bone and muscle development happening and it interferes with that. The child's thinking capabilities. I mean, you're blocking all this, right?
Right. They're treating puberty like a disease that has to be treated.
There are a lot of holistic doctors that talk about, you know, the effects, and many scientists, people, if you dig a little deeper, you see when you interfere with the natural process, you know, that God Almighty, the Creator, had made the human being go through, I mean, you can't expect good things to happen.
I totally agree with you. And yet, they're just passing in California a law right now, even though there's been huge opposition to it, to tax fund these health clinics that are providing these medical treatments on children and adults, puberty blockers and hormone therapy, that now it looks like they're going to pass it to fund it.
How this specific Dr. Kelly Brogan, she and others I've read, they have actually connected many of these pharmaceutical drugs. You have such a growing rate of suicide. You have such a growing rate of mass shootings, you know, and now you're introducing more things that are messing with the psyche of the human being, of the child. I mean, have you looked into some of the growing numbers of many of these things, suicide and many other mental disorders, you know, physical disorders that are happening under the pretext that, no, it's safe. You know, you just take a time out from, you know, the natural way. Have you gone down this and looked into or talked to some medical professionals, scientists who are more broadly holistic or in this
yes,
area?
Yes, I've definitely talked to medical doctors. I've read the, it's called the World Professional, Transgender Health. And it states in there that more studies need to be done and that these drugs are not FDA approved for this purpose. And it's flatly stated in these policies, yet they're experimenting on our children and they seem to be okay with it. I will tell you, I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm predominantly an educator. And so my forte is the curriculum part of it, of what they're teaching kids in schools and the policies and laws that impact schools and curriculum.
I've seen a lot of doctors. I remember one in particular. She was a lady who was talking about that if someone came into her office and had a perfectly good arm, leg, finger, whatever the case, and that this person wanted to have it amputated, that they would do such and such and such. They would have a protocol that they would they would not just go ahead and amputate them. They would start to think like, hold on, what's going on here with this individual? You know, you got a perfectly good arm, leg, but now when someone comes in and wants to totally change, you know, how the way the Creator made them, now it's actually pushed. It's actually facilitated.
It's facilitated, exactly. It's affirmed. I can show you a few books for kindergartners that might open some eyes. Would you like me to do that?
Yes, please. But you get the point the doctor was making?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, if you would like a doctor to come in, I could definitely recommend that. I know plenty medical doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists that are against this, but they are having to buck the system.
You got a lot of times toe the line. How many people are scared? They're not brave. I mean, may God Almighty yes. bless you. I mean, to come out like this. I mean, you a lot of times you're going against many people just follow like sheep blindly, and people are scared to have their voices heard, even though you have a lot of people that disagree with this. No?
I believe so. And I think with the unlimited genders, it's so outlandish. It's so beyond common sense and ridiculous that it's time for us to all stand up and unite and say enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'll just give you an example here. If you can see this, can you see this?
Yes.
Okay. So it says, when babies are born, people ask, is it a boy or a girl? Well, babies can't talk, so grown-ups make a guess by looking at their bodies. Now, notice it says grown-ups. It doesn't even say parents. Yeah, they're guessing what they are by looking at their bodies. Some people say there are only two genders, but there are really many genders. And here's the picture. I am girl, boy, both, neither, just me. And if you see this picture, you'll notice the age of these children. These look like, to me, three-year-olds, four-year-olds. They're very small. And here's the definition of the gender spectrum. And for some people, there are more than just two choices. Now, they're using the word choices. There are just a few words people use: trans, genderqueer, non-binary, gender fluid, transgender, gender neutral, agender, neutroid, bigender, third gender, two-spirit. And there are even more words people are using to describe their experience. This is called the gender spectrum. Now, if that doesn't confuse a child, I don't know what does. It confuses me.
Now, to go into this other part I want to show is where you talk about the targeting of the Muslim youth, Muslim children, and I'm showing right now on the screen where it says this is a article or the teacher is called the Resource for Trans Muslim Youth. It says, I'm Muslim and my gender doesn't fit me. Can you talk about what this is and how is this affecting the educators, teachers out there?
Well, what they're trying to do is they're using this word intersectionality. So when they're going after like Muslim youth, they're trying to tell them, don't worry, you can still be a Muslim and be a different gender. You can still be a Muslim and explore and experiment with your sexual orientation. You don't have to be pigeonholed, and you need to be yourself. You need to be who you are, okay? And so they're using these words like your authentic self. And the only way you can really discover that is through experimentation. And school is considered the safe place, the safe zone, where you will not be judged. You can try different things, you know, where maybe at home you wouldn't be able to do that. You would be stifled based on your religion. So they're saying intersectionality is a way you can still keep your religion, but it's okay to have these all these different genders and different sexual orientations also.
Now, what's our right as parents? I mean, you come from a Christian background, correct?
Correct.
Now, it's pretty clear in Christianity, in Judaism, in Islam. I mean, here,
Catholics,
it's all clear that God Almighty created the first man, Adam, and then you have Eve, The gender is clear. The God Almighty, the Creator Allah, says in the Quran, the man is not like the woman. You know, clearly defining the man, who he is, who the woman is, elevating them both in status, etc., etc. How do we now? What is our right to project this belief that we have and not compromise in it, and then and not fall into this? Because many people are scared now. Many people feel like, okay, can I speak about this? Can I talk about this? Am I going to get in trouble legally?
Yeah, those are great questions. Eddie, what they're really doing here, for me, you know, we live in America, and an adult can do what an adult wants to do, and that's fine. But when it comes to public education is a place that is supposed to respect diversity. That means that they're supposed to respect the different cultures and the religious variances that are represented in their classroom. However, to me, this has crossed a line into indoctrination and propaganda, okay? Because when I'm looking at some of these websites, I'm looking at these books for young children, I'm seeing that they are promoting an ideology that most people don't agree with. Yet they're promoting it as fact and science and truth. So, and when Black Lives Matter came in with their K-12 curriculum, which I sent you some of the coloring pages, it's also promoting this same type of gender. One of the coloring pages says, everybody has the right to choose their own gender by listening to their own heart and mind. Everyone gets to choose if they are a girl or boy, or both, or neither, or something else. And no one else gets to choose for them. So interestingly, that they are talking out of two sides of their mouth, because on one side they say, oh, you're born this way. Well, then they keep on using the word choose over and over again. So this isn't really making sense. But as far as parent rights, I don't think parents should be disrespected in public education. And I think we're getting to a point to where we need huge educational reform, to the place of, we need school choice, you know, so that we're taxpayers. And, you know, if we're taxpayers, and if somebody wants to send their child to a Muslim school, a mosque school, or to a Catholic school, or to a Christian academy, you know, or to a military school, they should be given that choice. They shouldn't be locked in to schools that are absolutely assaulting their values and their family beliefs.
Talk to us about this father. The headlines read, trans role father is willing to go to jail, saying, I will not allow my son to attend relationship classes and learn. He may be in the wrong body, says a Birmingham man.
Yes. Well, they're pushing this. It's not just here, but it's even more progressive in other countries. And I'm getting information from Australia, from the UK, that this is going out globally. Those Amaze videos that you watched are not just being shown in the United States. There's over 40 million views that are international, because they have put those videos in multiple languages. So what they're doing is they're teaching our children these things when parents haven't even heard of it before, so that the children come home from school and say, oh, well, you know, mom, dad, you're not with it. You don't know what's like the cutting edge science. So kids already are, you know, they're trying to individuate. They're trying to be their own people, right, as they're growing up into adolescence. And this just makes the rebellion all the worse, because now they see their parents as backwards, because the schools are teaching something very contrary to what maybe their religions, their imams, their priests, their pastors, or their parents are teaching them. It's a contradiction.
Let's just make this very emphatically clear that A, this is anti-science. B, this is against medicine. And this is also against, if you're a God-fearing person, if you love God, this is also against God, the Creator. I mean, this is undermining him at the same time. So all these things, from a scientific perspective, there's no science to back this. From a medical perspective, nothing's there. Am I correct when I say this?
Absolutely. And when it comes to parent rights, at least in California, and usually California leads the way for the nation, they are taking away our rights one by one, in big ways. So for one, with sex education, they said no longer will it require permission slips by parents. And actually, I worked with one of the imams to, we tried to pass a law to increase parent rights with many concerned citizens in California. In fact, he spoke at the hearing in the Capitol. He did an amazing job. And yet, even though we had millions of people, Catholics, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Mormons, many people that were opposing this, and we wanted more parent rights, we were asking for basically, you know, parent permission slips if you're going to teach this to elementary, asking that they put the curriculum on their website so that parents don't have to take off work in order to view what's being taught to their children. We were asking for transparency and openness so we didn't have to guess what's going on when these laws are changing. And they voted no. The ACLU opposed us. The American Academy of Pediatrics opposed us. Planned Parenthood opposed us. It was unbelievable. Well, they said it was based on data and research, and we read their data, and their data did not back up their position. It was a 30-year-old study that was actually from a drug prevention program in middle school, with a sample of 200 students. And at the abstract summary at the end, it said that, you know, it was good for this case, but usually when it comes to parent permission, you should go on a case-by-case basis. So it didn't even relate. I mean, our subject was sex education for elementary school kids. It was apples and oranges. So to me, they're just pushing an agenda here to take away parent rights and to create medical patients, lifelong medical patients with puberty blockers and hormone therapy.
Let me get your reaction to one more thing. There's a big controversy regarding a film that seems to be over-sexualizing children.
Yes.
And again, it goes back to our topic talking about targeting Muslim youth, because you have an actual family that has a daughter in there that's wearing, you know, when we wear this, the women wear the hijab, they're actually imitating Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't know if you knew that.
I haven't seen it, but I did read a summary about it.
Yeah, so that's why she's wearing the hijab. That's why any woman, a Muslim woman, they wear the hijab, because of our deep love for Jesus, peace be upon him, and his blessed mother, Mary, call her Maryam. So we're trying to imitate her in modesty. Now, I'm going to go ahead and share this. Have you heard of this film called Cuties?
Yes, it's called Cuties.
Yeah.
And it's young girls before they're not even teenagers yet. And they are going against their parents because they wanted to join a dance team where it's a very sexualized dancing called twerking.
So how does this fit in with what we're talking about?
The way it fits in is when I read through the International Planned Parenthood, they talk a lot about sexual rights, and that they talk a lot about sexual pleasure, and that sexual pleasure is the right. And it is the right of, actually, in the sex education standards, I was shocked when I read it. It said that it is the fundamental, sexual consent is the fundamental right of people of all ages. So they're really stressing kids having sexual rights.
I mean, this seems like more a growing push also for pedophilia.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree. Yes.
So this is very scary. Very scary times we're living in.
It's very alarming.
Yeah.
And they're doing it with toys, too. And I think I sent you those toys.
Okay, so now with this Netflix film, so now you have these young girls, you have this Muslim girl who's growing up, and now you have these the other young girls, they're trying to get them to do the whole twerking stuff and all. It all seems like it's under the umbrella of just fun. We're just having fun, freedom. What do you think about that? All these terms that are just nice, they're nice terms, slogans that are put out there, but then what's the agenda underneath? Right? It seems it's this poison.
The agenda is freedom at all cost. and it's leading our kids into rebellion against their parents, rebellion and revolt against, you know, probably their traditional, if they're in any type of religious or cultural family setting. It's to break out and to be your own person and to have fun no matter what. Pleasure is everything, and sexual pleasure especially.
There is a big outrage also, and we've had a lot of, have you seen a lot of Christian groups or Jewish or that have spoken out against this film from Netflix? I know there was a petition.
Yes. There was a change.org that I know, I think they got up to 170,000. And I know that Netflix did send out a Twitter message apologizing, but they didn't remove it from Netflix. They just changed the poster because the one that you showed was the changed version. The first one was the girls in their scanty costumes in provocative.
Oh, wait. So the one that we just showed was a toned down one? There was one worse than that?
Yes. Yeah. That's the toned down one. They portrayed these 11-year-old girls as Las Vegas showgirls.
Basically strippers.
Like pole dancers.
Pole dancers. So tell me now about the last thing we'll discuss here was about the actual toys. You sent me some stuff. Talk to us about this.
And I don't know if you'd like to maybe show, this is selling at Target now. It's called Poopsie, and it's a unicorn that dances, and they're combining it with a YouTube video that, first of all, they're unicorn dolls and with the rainbow hair, and then they eat slime, and then they defecate the slime, and the slime has different fragrances, and it's glittery. So to me, what they're trying to do with this is have a positive association with human feces, rather than it being, you know, considered, ew, you know, gross or smelly. They're having a positive association. We've got glitter and nice aromas. And I don't know how to say this, but, you know, the anus is shaped as a heart on the doll where the slime comes out. And I find that significant. I find it significant because in the sex education that they're teaching, there's a stress on anal sex, and that's different. We haven't had that before. But
this is an important point now. This is an important point that in the sexual education at the school, this wasn't something that was stressed before, but now there's been a big change in it.
Yes. Yes. And they basically, when I was reading it, I was pretty shocked because I used to work in probation, and I actually a long time ago helped write some of the curriculum for the AIDS prevention. And when they were talking about HIV prevention and they were really downplaying the risks of anal sex, I was shocked by that, making it sound as though, you know, as long as you use a condom, everything's going to be fine, and not really giving the true stats for the high risk of this type of activity.
What is some of the high risk?
Well, first of all, condoms are not even FDA approved for anal sex. And the CDC stats show that it's 70% efficacy rate. So, you know, that's it with perfect use of a condom, perfect 100% use all the time with a condom. And, you know, there's no such thing as perfect use, actually. And when it's not used perfectly, it goes down significantly. Even Planned Parenthood says that even for vaginal sex, with unperfect use, it goes down 13% in efficacy rate. So if you're going from a 70% and then you take down unperfect use, that takes it down to 57% efficiency.
So tell us, Brenda, what can the parents do? What can the people, are many of these laws being just passed while people are asleep at home, while people are just snoozing under the table really quickly? Like, how are they being passed? Do more people, mainstream media, not much coverage on this? What can we do?
No, the mainstream media keep it totally silent. I mean, even the fact that we had our gender definition changed, the legal definition changed in 2017 in the state of California, And no, not a word was said, not a word. In fact, even the school board members weren't told. And I contacted the California School Board Association and said, listen, you know, why aren't school board members being told this? We're passing policies with the word gender identity. And yet the implications when a definition change, it's huge. The implications are huge because what it means is because under the sexual harassment and discriminatory non-discrimination policies, I said, if a teacher doesn't go along with this, if they don't use some of these pronouns like Z, they, you know, some of these new pronouns that are non-binary, they will be accused of discrimination or harassment and their jobs will be in jeopardy.
Their jobs will actually be in jeopardy.
That's right. So if you, it's really putting people in fear that they could lose their jobs.
I mean, explain that. How, give us in a scenario. I mean, what if you, I mean, if you address someone who's a boy, I mean, biologically, she's a female, and you address her by her biological nature, the way God Almighty created her, the way your religion defines man or woman, you can get in trouble as an educator? You lose
yes.
your job?
Yes.
And this is actually happening. Have you have any cases that you know of?
Yes.
Yeah?
And I know a teacher friend of mine, she was posting on Facebook. She lives in the Bay Area. This wasn't even during work hours. She posted on Facebook how she thought these different gender identities were harmful to kids. And she was put on administrative leave, saying that she might be creating a hostile environment for students if she doesn't believe the way they want her to believe. She did end up getting her job back, but that's how, yeah, it is getting very serious.
I don't know how much you know about the statistics. This is also something that's growing. It's a sad reality that you have. I'll give you right now some numbers to this that the mainstream media really doesn't cover. And then when you see films like this with this cuties, this new Netflix, do you see this actually contributing where you to the human trafficking of young children? You have 30 million slaves in the world. 10 million of these are children. Trafficking in persons in the is the trafficking in persons is the third most profitable business for organized crime. You know, American children are the number one victims in America. You have 2 million children are sexually exploited in this multi-billion dollar commercial industry, and this is huge. And you don't hear much talk about this happening.
Right. I think it's absolutely going to contribute when you're sexualizing young children. And, you know, it's absolutely. They're teaching all kinds of things to them, masturbation at a young, very young age. And they're going into great detail on all the body parts, which isn't necessary. And it's literally pornography.
It's very scary. So again, we've covered a lot. It's a lot of information. I believe every parent needs to watch this to be informed, not asleep when it comes to not naive. And your closing comments, what else, what can every parent do to make a difference?
Do you want me to show one more book?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is a book from the Human Rights Campaign called Welcoming Schools, and this is for preschool through second grade.
This is preschool through second grade. So these are all the books up until now that you showed us, this is what the teachers are using in the public schools.
This is, well, I can't say definitely that they're using them. I can say that they're being promoted and encouraged to use them by our Department of Education. They're saying that this is inclusive. This is how to create inclusive, welcoming school climates by teaching this. And anybody who wants more information, I do have a YouTube video that actually the Muslim community helped fund. And so if they Google my name, Brenda Lebsack, they can find a lot more videos with samples of curriculum and videos in that. Yeah. So this one has, let me see. This is called They, She, He, Me, Free to Be. And this is a picture with a pronoun of he. This is a picture with the pronoun of she. This is a picture of the pronoun of they, meaning you can be both male and female at the same time.
You could be, so wait, back up. So you can be now both at the same time also.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Or you can be fluctuating gender fluid back and forth. So you can go he one day, she the next day.
But something you talked about in your lecture, you can actually, even if you go outside of those pronouns, if a person wants to be a cat, a dog, does that fits into the equation?
I don't know. I mean, I would imagine it could be anything on the spectrum. But
I've heard this. I've heard this also. Yeah.
This where, one says a pronoun called Z or tree.
And what is the Z?
The Z means you're non-binary. That means you're neither boy or girl.
And then tree?
You're something else.
You said tree also?
Yeah, that's right there, tree.
What does a tree mean?
That's a pronoun.
That's a pronoun.
But it says here that you can create any pronouns. It says you can change pronouns from he to she or she to he. You can use new ones like Z or create your own like tree. Some people use they, which is the perfect way. There are many, many more pronouns waiting to be discovered and used. So they're talking about, like I said, the kid's imagination. The sky is the limit. What do you want to be? It's just like hybrid humanity. It's like Avatar.
How is the Christian community? How are they? I mean, this is a great joint effort. I mean, to work together to bring to light.
And
many
we have been working together. When we had the Catholic Conference of Bishops in the state of California, we had the Islamic Shura Council for Southern California. We had the Nazarene denomination, Assemblies of God for Southern California. Many of large churches that came together of many different, you know, denominations. The Lutherans signed on too, and we came together to increase parent rights, just asking for permission slips if they're going to teach these things for elementary kids. And we were denied. Again, we were denied by the American Academy of Pediatrics, by the ACLU, and by Planned Parenthood.
How did you feel, just on a side note, because sometimes Christians who also hold many of the same values as Muslims, and we have so many things in common. Few of them is just the belief in one and only one God, and we believe in Jesus. I mean, we believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers God Almighty ever sent. We believe in his Blessed Mother. There's a whole chapter named after in the Quran. We say peace. You hear us say, Assalamu alaikum. We say, peace be with you. That's the way Jesus greeted. We believe in family, man and woman coming together. We believe in so many things that are similar, but you have some of these trepidations, fear, because of the mainstream media. Again, some Christians have some wrong ideas about Muslims, again, but when they come meet like you did, how did you feel when you came into a mosque, giving your lecture there and meeting actually the community and to help Christians get, because I speak to different Christians groups, they come in, and when they come in, it's a totally different experience. I had one pastor, his name was David. He said, I said, how did you feel before you came to visit us here? He said, I was terrified. That's, you know, when you listen to just the mainstream media, how's your experience been with the Muslim community? And
my experience has been wonderful. I've met so many wonderful people. And, you know, the fact is that we love our children. And we have a reason to have a righteous anger right now, an indignation. And I'm telling you, I weep over this. I weep over it almost daily because I'm afraid for humanity. I'm afraid for our children. I'm afraid for our religious freedoms of all religions. And for our rights as parents, because that's a very sacred right. And we do need to join arms and work together. But no, I love the Muslim community. They've been so supportive. In fact, they funded me. They found me a videographer and helped me to get the word out. And I'm so grateful to them. And, you know, I think sometimes we stereotype and it's just wrong, you know, for people to stereotype Christians or evangelicals as people who blow up abortion clinics and, you know, strike gay funerals. That's not the Christian community, you know, and the Catholic community isn't a bunch of child molesters, you know, and it's just sad because a few things like that or 9/11, you know, a lot of Christians think of terrorism and 9/11, and we need to look, we need to meet each other and get rid of these stereotypes between each other that provide restrict unity.
Absolutely. Are you also open if other, because I encourage more community leaders, imams, scholars to invite you to their mosques so you can also give this presentation and make the community aware of really what's going on. Are you willing to come out and
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, with the COVID-19, even though it seemed to put a damper on things, because I was going into mosques, I was going into churches of many different languages, Spanish, Korean, but it doesn't have to dampen it, because actually there's webinars. We could probably meet even more people with greater influence, and we need to not, the mass media isn't going to cover this. So we have to take it upon ourselves to do so.
How can people get in contact with you if they wanted to invite you or see some more of your work?
They can just BrendaLebsack@AOL.com, or they can message me. I'm on Facebook, so they can message me.
You're on Facebook, and those, the video that you talked about, to see more of your videos, they can go on YouTube. They just put your name, Brenda?
Yeah, if they Google my name, I've actually written a lot of articles, and I have a lot of YouTubes, and they're short. They're only 4 minutes each. Mm-hmm. So I tried to keep them really packed with information because I know people don't have a lot of time. And by the way, you know, I want to let you know that I'm also reaching out to the gay and lesbian community because they are upset about this too. They feel like they're being misrepresented. And many of them, there's a book that just came out by an author called Abigail Schreier called Irreparable Damage. And it's about this whole transgender trend that's going on, especially with young girls, and finding that the YouTube and social media is it's becoming a contagion where it's just a in thing, almost like cutting or anorexia. And so she interviewed a ton of parents, including many gay and lesbian parents that were very upset about this gender craze that's going on right now, especially unlimited genders.
One more thing I want to ask you. This is more in the public schools. Is this also being forced, or can this be this curriculum when it starts happening, many of these things in private schools?
Well, as of right now, it's not in the private schools. However, we need to push back because the goal is to get into the private schools, because if they tighten the laws, where they're going with this is that they are, that's why it's in the Black Lives Matter curriculum, because they're equating all of these new gender identities and sexual orientation identities with skin color. Okay, so if you do not embrace these ideologies, you're therefore, it's implied that you're a racist.
So it's packaged in this? I mean, it's very deceptive.
Yeah, very deceptive. And
many people don't know about this. This is very important information now that they're putting this in packaging.
It's the packaging, exactly. And it's all part of systemic racism. It's all together and very strategically placed. But the sexual orientation, just like gender, how we think, oh, it's transgender. The sexual orientations are way beyond lesbian, gay, or even bisexual. It's going way beyond that. We have non-monogamous relationships. We have open relationships. It's anything goes. There are no boundaries. It's just based on however you feel and whatever you're attracted to.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful work you're doing. One more thing. Have you gotten some pushback? Have people fought you against this? How you are experiencing any pushback?
Well, what's amazing is I've gone about this not on the stance so much of religion as facts. So I have been exposing and showing facts, and nobody can argue with me on that. And they can't even call me a racist, because when I went to the California Department of Ed, I advocated because they were doing a 60-day input process, but they only provided all the information in English. And I said, well, what about our immigrant population? 30% of our state is immigrant population. You're only allowing English speakers to even, you know, agree with this information that's never been in schools before. And so they discriminated against all of our Spanish speaking, Arabic speaking, Asian speaking parents. They didn't have a voice at all. And I think that's racism.
All right. So thank you very much. People can look you up at your Facebook page. Just put your name, Brenda Lipsack, Lebsack. And then you also have that YouTube channel that has many of these more information in those videos. Thank you so much. May God bless you for your wonderful work. Thank you. And I encourage everybody who's listening, many of the community leaders, to really get informed, to watch this again and again, and also invite you to their community so they can get more, even more informed, and ask any questions that they have. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Brenda. And this is a great example of someone with a lot of courage, somebody who is helping to expose what our children are being exposed to, an educator with over 25 years experience. She's brought many things to light. I'm sure many things that you're having a hard time wrapping your mind around, but these are the times that we're living in. And we got to hold firm, and we have to educate our children, ourselves, in our home, make sure we're living this deen, this beautiful way of life from the Creator of the heavens and earth, submission to His will, not our desires. That's what Islam means, that we're doing our best to teach our children what God Almighty, the Creator, Allah, what He loves. And He loves when husband and wife, when a man and woman, they come together to express themselves. That feeling, that natural desire that a man has for a woman and a woman has for a man, that they do it properly, A, in marriage, and B, they do it within the kind confounds, within the boundaries that the Creator has set. And this is clear in our deen, in Islam. It is clear. And we know it's clear in Christianity and in Judaism. So people of faith, people who believe in the Creator of the heavens and earth, this is a great example how we can come together on something good to promote that, so we don't end up having this other ideology try to snatch our kids away from the way that has been clear for generations, generations since the beginning of humanity. Thank you very much. Again, subscribe if you haven't already. Support us on our Patreon page. And we'll see you next time here on The Deen Show. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.